You're listening to Guide to Brides, the wedding podcast. I'm Nikita from Team GFB, and if you're planning your wedding or helping someone who is, you're in the right place, because I'll be discussing trends, practical planning tips, and more with the help of some special guests along the way. So let's get started with today's episode. Hello and welcome back to Guides for Brides, the wedding podcast. Now, we've talked a couple of times on the podcast about bridal wear and all things bride's fashion. But today we have a lovely guest here called Alex from the Cotswold Tailor. And we're going to be talking about menswear and suit hire. So don't worry guys, we're not excluding you at all. We are going to be talking all about tailoring and suits and all things wedding suits, really, aren't we? So whether it is your partner that is struggling with their wedding suit options or yourself, Alex is hopefully going to be here to help you sort of think about all of that aspect. So would you like to introduce yourself and the Cotswold Tailor to our lovely listeners?
Yeah, of course. So the Cotswold Tailor is, well, as you said, a menswear brand focusing on weddings. We've got a shop in Woodstock and we've got a shop in Shipston-on-Stour. I like to think of it as a kind of a one-stop shop for all your wedding needs. So we do everything from hand-sewn, kind of old-school bespoke tailoring, right through to wedding hire on the other side. So whether, you know, depending on your budget, if you have a bigger budget, then we do bespoke or right through to really affordable high-wear suits.
Lovely. And so what is your most popular style? I think that's probably one to start with, a good question.
Yeah, so at the moment, and we've seen it for the last couple of years, tweed is still big in weddings. So we saw it come in about 3 or 4 years ago on the back of Peaky Blinders and some of the other TV programs which were popular at the time. And also the movement towards much more natural country weddings, barn weddings were a big thing.
Yeah.
And we thought it might be a bit of a fad, but it's still by far the most popular suit. So you'll see lots of pictures with people wearing blue. You'll see it like a blue herringbone tweed. It's super popular. So tweed jacket, blue tweed trousers, and really popular to maybe like a grey or green tweed waistcoat.
Nice.
And that look is still massive at the moment.
Yeah, it's probably actually the look that me and my partner are thinking about for the menswear on our side.
It's really natural. A lot of people say, well, lots of comments about, is it going to be too hot for a summer wedding? Like, actually, no, tweeds, the old school Harris tweed that you might see your grandpa, grandfather wearing, where it's really thick, really heavy, they're not really done anymore. So we've got a range of much lighter tweeds, which really suitable for a summer wedding. I always say as well, after your photographs, you're going to take your jacket off. So actually, if you've just got your waistcoat, your shirt and your trousers in the tweed, it's fine. The other thing they ask is it going to be itchy?
Yeah.
And actually, you know what? Tweeds now really aren't that bad. We line them to the knee. Most people don't have a problem with tweed at all.
That's really good to know, actually. It's like tweed being such a popular fabric for wedding suits. What kind of colours can you expect that to come in?
So tweeds originally have been designed to reflect the environment. So if you look at particularly Harris tweeds, for example, they say it's a picture of a landscape. So people have designed the tweeds looking out at the landscape. So you get lots of blues reflecting the water, you get lots of the greens and purples reflecting the heather. The most popular, green is super popular. We've seen a bit of a shift towards browns as well more recently. We haven't done a lot of brown.
Like,
but
a beigey kind of brown, or like really bright.
Both. So the beige is brilliant for summer weddings. So if you want those wheaty, more earthy tones, they're great for the summer. Sandy tones are beautiful. Mustard tones we do a lot of. In fact, we do huge. We've got really popular mustard waistcoat paired with the blue. Looks great.
Wow. I wouldn't expect those two colours.
No, we call it our wild card because people off are like, oh no, I'm not even going to bother trying that on. I say, look, just try it on. There's no harm in trying it, and actually it worked really well. So it's one of those ones where actually sometimes you just need to see colours together to get ideas. But winter weddings, we're doing a lot of the darker, richer, say the burgundy, beautiful burgundy tweeds. But generally speaking, people go for a blue base. It's just really popular and it's really easy to pair with lots of different colours.
It's like such as what you're wearing today.
Yeah, basically. blue and then a contrasting waistcoat.
Some sort of brighter colour potentially.
Yeah, and you can get that either through a tie, bow tie. Some people go three-piece blue and then bring it into the flowers or pocket square. You can inject colour however you want, really.
So when we're talking about sort of this most popular style, yeah. that bright colour as a pop, is that kind of a popular thing, or is it very sort of muted tones at the moment?
I, at the moment, it's quite muted. We're doing a lot of Liberty prints, but which is huge at the moment. You'll see Liberty, so anything floral based is super popular. So you'll see in the ties at the moment, the floral ties, plain suits, but with floral ties is massive at the moment. But it's still quite safe. So you're doing the sage, the greens, the navies, but a lot of, well, a bit of advice I always give is a lot of people say, should we be matching the ties to the bridesmaids' dresses? Mm-hmm. I think it's a great idea, but don't get too hung up on it. It's very difficult. Bridesmaids' dresses are made from one fabric. Ties are made from a very different fabric. So to get them to match exactly, unless you use them actual, the actual bridal fabric, is very difficult to do. So actually, a really great way of doing it is use a tie with lots of different colours in it. You're pulling out lots of different colours. So actually, if there's a nod to the bridesmaids through one of those colours, there's less, I guess, pressure on the tie matching exactly. And we promote that a lot in the shop.
Okay, so when my partner is already starting to think about his wedding suits, I mean, we're only getting married in October, but he's very excited about it. So he's going to look at
it's
wedding suits.
It's worth noting, that's not too soon, by the way.
That's good.
I say 6 months.
I was like, you're
a
keen bean, but...
No, yeah. I mean, it sounds like it, back in the day, he would have been super keen because we see people 2-3 months ahead. Nowadays, post-COVID, that's just too late. It's too late notice. It's, menswear and weddings generally are absolutely booming at the moment. So we get the ball rolling 8 to 12 months in advance.
That's really good to know.
Yeah, really good. So he'd be perfect, perfect timing right now to start thinking about it.
Great. So when he went shopping or like browsing as such, he took with the swatch for the bridesmaids'
Perfect.
Dresses.
Yeah.
Is that, so would you suggest doing that in general?
100%. Yeah. I think there's one of two ways of doing it. Either we do something called an initial consultation, and on that, we encourage the bride and groom to come along if they can, or whoever it may be. And it's a good chance to discuss colours, to discuss themes, just to find out a bit more about the wedding. And then past that point, we encourage their partner not to come along to any of the fittings, because I think it's important that actually you leave it to the experts to do the fitting side of it. And also it's just fun for the groom to have a bit of banter with us, to have the groomsmen all come together and make a feature out of it, or a day out of it, like you would if you were bridesmaid shopping or bridal shopping. Yeah. And we try to encourage that in the shop. So, but yeah, to answer your question, really important to bring colours along, because it just, you can build up a picture of where you want to go with it.
Yeah, and that could be anything, I guess, like if you've got my florist, for example, sent me a mood board of the kinds of flowers I was thinking about having. Yeah. So bringing that along, even if you don't know what colour bridesmaids are going to wear yet, or something like that, might be helpful.
I think that's really helpful, because the first question, well, one of the first questions I ask after when is your wedding is, do you have any colours that you want to work around? Mm-hmm. And some people don't. Some people want it really relaxed, and we can build up a picture by trying on lots of different colours. That's the other thing. Certain colours work better on some grooms than they do on others. So we will build up a picture. But of course, if you've already got a few ideas, that really helps narrow things down for us.
I guess as well, it depends on the skin tone you've got and everything like that. So when you try on a colour, you won't know until it's on your skin, really, will you?
And that's one of the reasons why we actually don't do a huge amount of light grey suits. There's, I don't know when, it was about 10 years ago, light grey was huge in wedding suits. And actually, as blues have come in, light greys have kind of disappeared. Light grey is a very difficult colour to pair up with all skin tones. The blues are much more forgiving, we've found. So actually, at the moment, grey's out, unfortunately. You see a bit more during the summer when they're looking for lighter colour tones and lighter suits. But at the moment, we do a fraction of the number of grey suits versus blue suits.
Well, that's really interesting to know, actually. I think in my head, because we get obviously an October wedding, we're thinking about more darker tones in terms of what the wedding party are wearing. And, you know, grey was one of those options, So my partner thinking he'd go for a blue and being right on trend, I think he's going to be really happy to hear about that. So let's sort of go into the logistics of shopping for a wedding suit, whether you're a man or a woman who's shopping for their wedding suit. you might have bought a suit in the past before. How is suit shopping for a wedding different?
So, I mean, generally, it's the same. You're still looking at fit, which is important. But you have to start thinking about the synergy with the rest of the party. So are you shopping for just one suit, i.e. it's just you as the groom, or are you searching for a number of suits to work around the groomsmen as well? So normally, if you were, say, going out there and buying a business suit, you might be looking for something very formal. But I guess it reflects your work environment. Mm-hmm. What you're looking for with a wedding suit is it to reflect your wedding environment. Mm-hmm. So if you're getting married in, say, a barn venue, you might be going for something a bit more natural, a bit more rustic. If you're getting married in a big stately home, you might start looking towards morning suits and some of the more formal. It's worth saying that quite often when we're doing fittings, we'll discreetly ask the bride or the partner what they're wearing as well, because there's no point us putting you in a very relaxed suit if your partner's wearing a very, very formal dress. There needs to be the synergy there. So generally, the bases are the same. You're going out there, you're thinking about colours, you're thinking about fit, but actually the purpose of what you're buying it for is different, so you need to make sure it's appropriate to, you know, to the wedding sort of thing.
So when we're thinking about the logistics of suit shopping, then you've already mentioned 8 to 12 months is ideal timing to sort of start thinking about that, especially if you're going for tailoring. Booking a venue, I guess that's probably one thing you really need to do before you start the suit shopping process.
Yeah, I would say, as much as it pains me to say it, we're quite far down the line. So it's actually useful if you've got your venue, if you've got, I mean, you don't have to, it's helpful if you've got bridesmaids' dresses, bridal dresses, even your florist, because there's conversations about around buttonholes, and your florist will want, it's that synergy between your florist maybe inspiring some colours through the suit, but likewise, your florist will also want to see what waistcoat or what colours you're wearing in the suit to be able to offer buttonhole ideas. So everything's linked in weddings, but generally down the line, we are fairly far down the line. So if you can get other things sorted beforehand, that's ideal, but if not, then actually it's not a problem.
So when we're going wedding suit shopping, we've got to think about color, we've got to think about fit, think about style. Where do you even start with that?
Good question. I think you want to pick somewhere where you can get advice. And I think the first thing you need to work out is, and I always say to this people, is you need to have a little think about your budget. Ultimately, there's no point coming in wanting a bespoke suit if you only want to spend a couple hundred pounds on your suit. So I think budget will then determine where you can go. So a shop like ours, for example, we offer high wear, we offer ready to wear, and we offer bespoke. There's a huge difference between all of those options, obviously. Bespoke tailoring is when we will measure you up and we'll cut a unique suit and pattern to your body shape.
Right.
So we will consider your posture, how you hold yourself, and more importantly, you get to design the suit. So you get to pick the pocket shape, the flats, the vents, every element of that is unique to you. Most amazing process, but it's quite an expensive process. The beauty with, say, buying something off the shelf versus hiring it, if you didn't want to spend as much as bespoke, but you wanted to own your suit at the end of it, because it's a nice keepsake, you can wear it again, is that if you buy it off the shelf and, say, bring it to tailors like ourselves, we can still alter it. So you could buy it from, you know, wherever, Bicester Village even, and then bring it to someone like ourselves and we could tailor it to you. So at least you'd have almost like a made-to-measure fit. Or then you have, on the other side, you have higher wear, and generally, obviously, the higher is cheaper. One thing we allow our clients to do is we'll tailor the legs. So we'll tailor the leg width. It's very trendy at the moment to have a narrower leg. So we do offer that service. But one thing with higher you can't do is you can't change the shape of the jacket. So it's important when you pick a suit shop that you're going to experts and that they'll make sure they put you in the right, I guess, the right size jacket for your body shape.
Okay, so that leads me on to another question then. How do you know that a suit jacket even fits you? Like, what are the signs?
So let's say you've gone shopping with your partner and you're looking for your perfect wedding suit. You start with jacket. So most important thing to get right is the shoulders. Mm-hmm. You should just be able to pinch the end of your shoulder and your jacket. The jacket should just sit at the end of your shoulder. Mm-hmm. If you get big indentations in the side, it suggests it's too tight on your shoulder. Or if you get pulling across the back, sometimes you get horizontal lines mm-hmm. across the back. It means it's too tight across the back. It's the most expensive part of the suit to alter and the hardest bit to alter. So if you get that right, you save yourself a lot of money on alteration straight away.
That's a good tip.
But yeah, so number one, because everyone comes in with their suit, and most normal people would think that it's important to get the shape across the front right and to get that shape down the sides. Actually, that's really easy to alter. So actually, there's no point getting too tight shoulders with a perfect fitting middle. If that doesn't look right, it doesn't work. So the next thing is sleeve length. So on an ideal suit, you'd have just a flash of cuff. So essentially, you'd have just a centimetre of cuff showing. Imagine that was white. That'd be your white shirt just sticking out underneath. Sleeves can be altered, but if you've got working cuff like that, where you can undo the cuff, it's called a working surgeon's cuff. It's really difficult to do again. So generally speaking, suits come in long, regular and short fittings. And it's important you get the right sleeve length to you, but it is something that can be done quite cheaply. And if you've got your sleeve fitting, you've got your shoulders fitting, you then come across the front of the jacket. The trend at the moment is to go super tight. So I have a lot of people bring in jackets where they can't even do it up. Actually, you don't want that, because you might want the jacket done up for the pictures. Generally speaking, you'd wear a jacket undone with a three-piece suit. But if you do want it done up, it's important that it's not pulling. A sign of a too tight jacket is that it'll pull off the top button and you'll see stress marks either side.
So stress marks off the button.
So if I did that up, because I'm sat down, it'll show nicely. You get stress marks here. And what you also get is the lapels start to bow on the chest.
Okay.
And that is pulling like that. That is pulling off that button.
Right.
So it's actually leading on to it. It's a really nice point, actually. So when you're walking down the aisle, never have your jacket done up. Because as you're walking, you can imagine it does this.
So your pictures will be like that,
which is you know, not ideal.
That's a really great tip, actually.
So if you undo it, it doesn't. It sits flat. So it's something that I always point out and say, like, you'd never think about it, but everyone always goes, they all go to do up their jackets because it's what you'd expect to do. But whenever you're walking anywhere, have your jacket undone. And with a two-button jacket, always just the top button done up.
So never both, just the top.
Okay. Like, breaks all the rules of tailoring. So the simple thing is it parts better over your backside. So if you have it just top, the rest of the silhouette hangs down properly. So just top button. If you're doing a three-button jacket, which isn't really done so much now, but if you were, it'd be the top two buttons.
Okay, yeah, so that's really good tips to have. So if you're watching over on YouTube or on our video podcast, you would have seen that. But in general then, top button only if you're doing it up, but don't do it up if you're walking and it's a photo opportunity.
Yeah.
Okay, those are really good top tips there. So if for example, you are a same-sex couple that is going in to buy wedding suits, what would your advice be there? Because I guess there is, you know, for a heterosexual couple, you've got the bride who goes to have her dress shopping experience, and the groom that might go have their dress shopping experience. But if you're two grooms, what would you suggest? Because you might want to go and have the same suit or similar suits.
I mean, actually, if you're a same-sex couple or not, it actually makes no difference in the process. I think it's important for everyone to come in with sort of ideas of what you're looking for. Whether there's no problem if you want the same sort of suit, not a problem at all. If you want something different, I guess if you are having two suits side by side, it's important to make sure the colors don't clash. But other than that, I don't think the process is much different. I think you're looking all the time at synergy. And as long as the colors work, the important thing also is making sure the cut is right for your body shape as well.
So if one of you has a completely different body shape to the other, you might want to make sure those cuts marry together.
Yeah, literally.
Excuse the pun.
You might not, if you're trying to hire the same suit, I think it's important that and your different body shapes, I think it's important that you go for the right shape for your body shape. So that's why we offer the tailoring solution to the trousers, because we'll start with traditional whip trousers, which most people think were baggy trousers, but actually if you've got large muscular thighs or you've got slightly chunkier thighs, then you're not going to want them skin tight, because when you sit down it's going to become very tight. Mm-hmm. If you're a slightly slimmer build, then you benefit from a slightly sharper cut, slightly more tailored cut.
So where does the comfort to style ratio come in?
Because
obviously you're talking about like tighter suits being kind of more in at the moment.
Yeah, really.
But not too tight and, you know, yeah, that kind of thing. And to the point, especially where you're uncomfortable,
yeah,
where you can't sit down.
Yeah, that's a really good point. So everyone at the moment, I think it's this bravado thing as well. If you're coming in with the guys, it's, I'm size 34, and actually in reality they're size 38 or something. It's, you need to be comfortable. Like, yeah, it actually doesn't matter. It's just a number at the end of the day. So when you come in and see us, I actually won't tell you what trouser size you're in, because it makes no difference to me. Mm-hmm. It's just putting you in the right size for you. The thing you want to be doing is you should just be able to get one finger in at the back and should just be able to pull out the trousers. If you're between sizes, a lot of people are between sizes, actually go for a larger size. Mm-hmm. If you need to wear the larger size with the belt, it's going to be far more comfortable than the tighter size. Mm-hmm. Everyone, they all breathe in. The moment I put a tape measure around, they all breathe in and go, you know. But actually, in reality, it's a long day, isn't it? You're dancing, you're eating, you're drinking, you sat down.
Go your stomach's going to naturally bloat.
Yeah, literally. Go for the size up. I wouldn't say that with the jacket, but with the trousers, if you're between sizes, go for the size up. Generally, for the waistcoat, I normally suggest going for a size down. Right. You want that really nice fitted look on the waistcoat. A waistcoat should be fairly snug. It should give you that really nice silhouette and shape. And then with the jacket, you just need to pop it on and make sure it's fitting best. Remembering with the jacket, you can wear it undone. So
yeah,
you do have that.
Yeah, and I guess as well, that's the benefit of going to someone that is an expert in sort of menswear and tailoring side of things, is because you could literally look at a jacket and say, that's
And that's the thing, is also, it could look, generally we can measure with just eyes. So not for bespoke tailoring, obviously it's a bit different, but we do so many hundreds of fittings that now you can walk in, I'd know what you are just looking at you, sort of thing. But it is important. That's why whoever you go to, I do recommend independent shops generally. You want to go to people who are passionate about what they do. And I think it's important going to people who are experts. I mean, our prices aren't much different to other high street stores, but you want to go to somewhere where they actually are going to care. You're not just a number to them, you're actually a name, and they'll start to learn up and build up a rapport with you and know about your wedding. And if they, and you can build up that relationship, they can give, you know, better advice at the end of the day.
And I love the fact as well that, as you say, you can maybe go to a high street store. If you see one and you're like, oh my God, I love that suit. Yeah. And then you can take that to someone like you, who is an expert in the tailoring side of it, and be able to actually get it fitted properly.
Yeah, and that is something we can do. There's not many of us tailors left, but actually you don't have to settle for just off the shelf. If you do find something you love, it's worth noting that generally go bigger, because it's much easier to take things in.
Yeah, I guess it's the same with bridal wear, isn't it?
Yeah, the principle is same as bridal wear. Yeah,
you it's easier to take something in than it is to add more fabric to it.
Yeah, exactly.
So we've talked about the suit fits and everything like that, but shoes. This is a big bone of contention.
It really
in my
is. And everywhere, believe me. It's like one of the most controversial questions I get asked every fitting.
Well, you know, I sent my partner photos of the catwalk at the National Wedding Show, and every single suit I think that the men were wearing on the catwalk had brown shoes. And he said to me, are brown shoes in? Is that a thing at the moment?
Yeah, so brown is everywhere at the moment. Super trendy, super popular. And you know what? They came in about the same time as, well, blue suits and also tweed. That whole link to the more natural, the barn weddings being popular, also, of course, brought in the slightly more relaxed brown shoe. You can tear up the rule book of, brown and black shoes. So it's really funny, because normally, guys come in, they bring in their dads, the look on their father's faces when I say that brown know, is now the way to go with shoes. And you know what, though? Personally, I don't think there's any need to spend, and this is only my personal opinion, thousands of pounds and getting everyone wearing the same shoe. I just don't think there's any need for that. If you do it, that's cool and it looks amazing. You get that synergy. Yeah. But most people will not be able to tell the difference if you're wearing matching shoes or not.
Well, that's very true, isn't it?
Yeah,
actually?
I mean...
And how important is it to have your groomsmen actually matching you then?
Yeah, in terms of shoes... I don't think it's that important. I know a lot of brides have probably sat there thinking, oh my gosh, you know, what is he saying? But honestly, as long as you've not got... The problem with browns is you get, like, different tones of brown.
Yeah.
And I'm a bit anti light tan because I think it's a beacon on your feet and they stand out too much. The really popular colours, you know, that conquery kind of brownie-ready colour?
Yes.
That looks amazing. Or even that dark brown colour looks awesome. I think the tan, depending on what sort of look, it's a very summery look, but depending on what sort of look you want and whether you want to make a feature of your shoes, I would avoid the light tan. Particularly if you want people to look roughly the same. If one of the groomsmen's in light tan and one's in dark brown, there's a big difference there. If you just say, you know, if you get everyone in, say, a dark brown, that kind of covers that.
And I guess there's lots of styles of shoes as well.
Yeah, and that I don't think you should get hung up on. Actually, you know, there's classic quotes on Brogues or Oxfords. Actually, you know what? Go for what you feel comfortable in. Mm. And you know what? If you want to wear a boot, I'm wearing a boot today. If you want to wear a boot, wear a boot. It's worth noting for autumn winter weddings where a boot might be more appropriate, the trouser actually generally sits better over a boot than it would a shoe.
Interesting. I might have to mention that
sometime. Yeah, so you know that more tailored look?
Yeah,
it fits and goes over a boot better than it would where it sits on top of a shoe. So
interesting.
That's something to worth considering. They're less popular, but they trouser do sit beautifully over a boot.
That's definitely coming up in conversation when I get home tonight. Or I might make him listen to this podcast. But yeah, it's one of those things that you don't actually consider a boot for a wedding.
No. But the key thing here, I think, is do not fall out over this. Because actually, you know what? If your dad or your father or whoever it is wants to wear black, let him wear black. It's worth noting there are some suits where black is a must. So if you're wearing morning suits or if you're wearing a dinner suit, you have to go black. I mean,
what about tuxedos?
Same as dinner suit, controversially. Yeah. But you could wear the patent leather, so the patent leather, which is that shiny black. Mm-hmm. Personally, I'd just polish up a black Oxford or something for that. But yeah, definitely do not go brown with... There's some things where you just don't mess with
just
it.
Just don't do it.
Just don't do it. So like I say, for morning suits, dinner suits, tuxedos being another word for that, go black. Mm-hmm. For everything else, actually, generally speaking, the brown is more popular. But likewise, if you want to make a feature out of your shoe, we've done some amazing weddings where people have worn really, really funky shoes.
Oh.
So whether it be burgundy shoes or whatever your thing is, like some people really into their shoes, like Doc Martens. We've done lots of weddings where people wear Doc Martens and we can then tailor the trouser to fit the shoe. So if you love shoes and you have a thing like a certain shoe that you want to do, there's nothing wrong with that. Embrace it. And you know what? Weddings are about reflecting yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So don't be dictated to by anyone about how your wedding should look. Actually, if you want to wear sandals or whatever it be to your wedding and that's your thing, just embrace it.
Yeah.
And make a feature out of it.
Because you can always, as you say, make sure the trouser fits the shoe.
Exactly. And that's the key, is making sure, for example, really popular at the moment is for summer weddings, the Italian look. So that's a loafer with a really skinny trouser. That's come back in a big way. What you therefore need to do is cut the trouser slightly shorter and really narrow into the ankle, because what you're doing is showing off that shoe. Generally, you wouldn't wear a sock with that, or you wear a trainer sock. And so the look or the shoe you're wearing will massively dictate the cut of the trouser.
So top tip then, if you're thinking about shoes, that you have your shoes in mind.
Oh, you need to buy,
and do that well in advance.
So yeah, you need to be buying those shoes before the final fit of your suit.
Yeah.
And that doesn't matter if you're hiring or if you're bespoke or ready to wear. I always say bring your shoes to the fitting, because it'll massively change how we alter your trousers.
Yeah, I mean, people seem to think that menswear and suits are very different from actually shopping for a wedding dress, but actually a lot of the concepts are the same. Like, you know, I'm going for a dress fitting soon and I need to make sure I bring my shoes with me to make sure that I actually know what the shoes will look like with the dress, and maybe bring the veil because that's an accessory, and you know, you want to test that kind of
thing. The synergy is there. So a lot of overlap is the same in both. The fitting, the colours, everything, the same sort of process, to be honest, between the two.
Yeah, okay. And I think it would be a really good opportunity for us to sort of talk about the more controversial opinions. Yeah. I know you sort of started it there with the don't wear black shoes with these don't wear brown shoes with these specific suits. But let's talk about a few of these sort of more controversial options. So I'd like to start with top hats.
Yeah, okay.
So we see a top hat quite regularly with a morning suit. What do you think on those for weddings?
See, all of the below are going to be my own personal opinion.
Yeah, yeah.
But for me personally, I can't stand it. I hate top hats. It's for Royal Ascot, they look amazing. And we have the most amazing range of top hats for hire. The problem is, it's an awful lot of money being spent on one picture, because ultimately they're not comfortable to wear. They're going to get them away and you're not going to wear them for most of the day. You might wear them for one photo and then take them off. Personally, we don't do any weddings with top hat high. It's just not done. In this area, from what I've seen, we don't do, I mean, literally take this year for the last couple hundred weddings, we didn't do a single top hat high.
Okay. And that's, so I see them in pictures for like stately homes, for example. But as you say, I guess it might just, you're generally just wearing it for group photos and not even like your group photos, just like
I think a lot of those are stage photos as well. I think you'd be surprised. I think a lot of the, you know, where it's crept in from the royal weddings and things like that, but actually I think it's like, you could do it, and don't get me wrong, top hats can be really elegant, and you should look at the guys that go to Ascot wearing our stuff. They look incredible. Mm-hmm. I just think it's a pain, and it's going to annoy you throughout the day. So, of course, if budget is no limit, then do it if that's your thing. And that's the important thing. If top hats are your thing, embrace it. Just make sure it fits.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing worse than a bad-fitting top hat.
There's nothing worse than a bad-fitting jacket. There's nothing worse than a bad-fitting top hat.
I think that's important, isn't it? So fit is the number one thing here. So go to somewhere where they can fit you properly. But personally, I don't like top hats.
Yeah. I think that's the thing, is that it's, I think as well, it suits some people, but it doesn't suit others. And it's one of those things you have, if you want it, you need to try it on.
I think that's maybe why I'm anti, because I look terrible in that. I couldn't carry it off. So maybe I'm just a bit jealous. Yeah. So,
well, you know, we'll see. So should the groom match the groomsman entirely? That's the next sort of more controversial.
Yeah, now... That's a tricky one, because I don't think there's a right or wrong answer to that. I get asked this literally every fitting I do. Should the groom stand out? Now, I think in one element, whether that be you change the colour of the tie, you have a different buttonhole, or you have a whole different waistcoat, I think it's really nice if a groom stands out. Mm-hmm. It's nice to know who you're marrying at the end of the day. It's like, we'd like to think, well, you'd think so, but you might see someone you prefer looking sharper. So, I think it's a nice idea.
Yeah.
I personally really like when the waistcoat's different.
Mm-hmm.
So you might have all the groomsmen in, say, three-piece blue, but you then might have a groom in two-piece blue with a contrasting waistcoat. I think that looks amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And then what quite often we do is you might tie in the groom's waistcoat to the groomsman's tie.
Mm-hmm.
And then you might tie in the groom's tie into the groomsman's waistcoat. So you've got that synergy linking back both ways. So you still want, I think, the groom and the groomsman to look like they're a group, because that is the point of it, which is really nice. But I don't think there's any need. I mean, if you want to do it, it's cool, but I don't think there's any need for either everyone to exactly match or the groom to be completely different. One thing I think is more important than any of this, though, is go for what you want. And I think a wedding is a reflection of yourself. So quite often we have people chipping in from a side of, oh, you shouldn't wear this, or you shouldn't do this. And you know what? Do what you want to do, ultimately. I always say that to all my couples. Like, if you want to wear, you know, bright pink suit, wear a bright pink suit because it's a reflection of yourself, mm-hmm. and we can make that happen. Mm-hmm. Don't feel, just because I'm saying, oh, you shouldn't all pair in the same, don't feel that's a hard and fast rule. Do what you guys want to do and then we'll make that happen for you.
Yeah, that's a really good point, isn't it? I mean, at the end of the day, basically this podcast should be renamed because we always say is, do what you want, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But, you know, actually, it's true, isn't it? You know, it's your wedding day and you need to feel comfortable and you need to feel like yourself and you need to feel excited to put on your outfit.
And we see this a lot, and we actually have quite a few arguments in the shop where this is why I think it's important that you maybe for the first fitting you come together without other influences, mm-hmm. because actually your groomsmen and your parents actually should just want you to be happy. Mm-hmm. So generally speaking, if you tell them what they're going to wear, they'll just be happy and wear it. The problem is when you start asking four or five people for their opinion, they're going to give it. So it's very difficult, we find, where for the first fitting, if 6, 7, 8 people come to actually to come to a decision at the end of that fitting. So it works a lot better if just the two of you come in to begin with, and then you come back with your groomsmen after that. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, they will then just wear what you tell them to wear.
Yeah. We've been quite lucky with ours because, you know, my partner's sort of sent a few inspiration pictures, like, this is the kind of thing I'm thinking about, and most of them have gone, just tell me what to wear and I'll wear it,
because they just want you to be happy. I think that's important. And you know what, you may clash with some people over it. It's like quite often we see parents disagreeing, but remember, times have changed. Quite often I look at the faces of the parents when we suggest tweed, for example. Yeah. They would never have worn tweed go back 20, 30 years ago. Yeah. But now it's in a big way. Same with the brown shoes.
Yeah.
Times have changed. And I think it's important to embrace change and to embrace your own style and what you want to do, really.
Yeah, I think, like, from my perspective anyway, and, you know, my personal opinion, you know, there are certain things, like, I know that I would like the vibe of the day to be pretty timeless. Mm. But there are some things that I'm like, you know what? I know this is probably just going to be a trend.
Yes.
But it's a sign of the times
at
the end of the day. So, you know, if I want to wear these ridiculous sunglasses in the evening, then
embrace
why not?
It's your day. You know what? I think that's a good idea.
Yeah. Let's see. What else have we got here on controversial opinions? Okay. Hiring versus buying. I think some people, I don't know why this would be a controversial thing, but I think some people think that you should only hire a wedding suit. But
yeah, I don't think this is controversial, but it comes up and gets asked all the time. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's just important just to do some pros and cons of each. Mm-hmm. So pros of buying is you can then have it altered. So if fit is your most important thing, then the beauty of buying something or having something made is that it can be altered to you. Mm. Generally speaking, high wear will not be altered to you. Mm. But it's worth noting, not everyone. Some people, you know, just fit off-the-shelf suits perfectly. Sometimes we will put someone in a high suit and go, wow, that looks like it's been tailored for you.
Yeah.
So if you're lucky enough to have that body shape, then actually, then that's a much cheaper way of doing it. But so I think number one question is, do you fit high wear? If you do, great. Problem solved. You could use high wear. Second question is, do you want to keep the suit? Ultimately, do you wear suits? Generally speaking, if you will wear your wedding suit more than 4 times, it makes sense to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, would you wear the suit to other people's weddings? Would you wear the suit to work? If the answer to that is no and it's a one-off, so quite often, interestingly, with some of the fathers, they might not ever wear their suit again, they say, because they might have suits in their wardrobe already. So I was like, well, hire it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? A lot of places like ours, you can hire and buy within the same suit category. So you can buy the suits we hire. When we designed the range, we wanted good enough quality suits that if the groom, say, wanted to buy it, but the groomsman, say, didn't want to spend that level of money on a suit, they can hire.
Mm-hmm.
So generally, I think the three things are budget.
Mm-hmm.
Does your budget allow you to buy the suit? Fit, do you fit a higher suit or not? And will you wear it again?
Yes.
I think if you know those three things, it probably naturally determines which direction you want to go.
Yeah, and I think that's a really good way of thinking about it is that there really isn't a right or wrong.
Oh, no, yeah.
But actually, while we're on that point, what kind of budget would you suggest if you'll go, say if you had, like, I don't know, £500 by or higher, what direction would you go?
Cool. So generally speaking, so it's generally higher ready-to-wear and bespoke, they're all in different categories or prices. So if you said to me, look, Alex, I've got £100 to £250 to spend on my suit, I'd probably recommend higher. Generally speaking, within that price category, if you're buying your suit, it's going to be a polyester suit. And the quality of that suit is probably, actually, believe it or not, can be probably worse than our higher suits.
Right.
So, for example, our higher range is between £150 and £215. Next year, it's worth noting, we're introducing some cheaper suits or more affordable suits off the shelf, and they're going to come in around the £260 mark. But to sell a suit around that price, it's mainly polyester. It's man-made fabric. It has to be. Quality is still good, but it's man-made fabric. So if you've got 100 to 200, I would go higher. If you've got, say, if you're lucky enough to have, say, 300 to, I don't know, let's call it 600, you're kind of in the good off-the-shelf range. For £400 or £500, you should be able to get a really good off-the-shelf three-piece wedding suit.
Cool. And is that with shirt, with shoes, or would you say that might be a little bit extra?
No, I think you could probably include the shirt. I mean, you could spend up to £400 or £500 just on shoes alone. So it does depend. I think you need to be sensible with that. There's lots of places you can go for shoes, but there's a big difference between an English-made £400 shoe and a, say, next £50 shoe.
Yes.
So there's price categories, and the price generally reflects the quality. But I think a £500 budget is really healthy for a suit.
I would agree.
Generally speaking,
it's quite a lot of money, actually, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But then you start thinking about dresses.
Yes,
and
very true.
And that's the tricky thing, is like a lot of people might come into our shop and say, well, I've got 500. But then you ask how much a dress was, and it's quite normal to spend £1,000, £2,000, £5,000 on a dress, say. If you are lucky enough to have, you know, £1,000, £2,000, and you want a really special suit, our bespoke options start between £1,000 and £2,500, depending if you want made to measure or bespoke. And that's a really, really amazing experience. So I appreciate, for some, that's crazy money. I get that. But for others, if you want something really, really special and a keepsake, then actually it's the most amazing experience having a suit cut uniquely to you.
And what better excuse than if you want to have that experience? That's
a bucket
list.
If you, I mean, it literally is a bucket list item. Yeah. When you put on, the way I describe it is, when you put on a bespoke suit, it feels like putting on a jumper. Every, we look at posture, how you, you know, how you hold yourself, your shoulder shape. Every element is tweaked within a centimetre, half centimetre of your body. And we take 40 measurements. It's amazing.
Wow.
It's like, and every person is different as well.
Yeah.
You might have, you know, different shoulder. You might have damaged your shoulder at some point. And it's amazing. I keep mentioning shoulders because that's one area that really changes how the suit hangs. And so if you can do bespoke, it's the most amazing experience. And then you can have things like, you can have your initials put in, you pick your lining, every detail you pick, which is written, you can see the little detail on the cuff there where you have a different buttonhole. I mean, it's a really nice experience, but I appreciate it's a big chunk of your budget.
Yeah, and that's the thing, you know, some people, whether you've got a £5,000 budget or a £100,000 budget or more, you know, what you feel is most important to you is going to vary from couple to couple, isn't it? So if it's really important to you to have this once-in-a-lifetime almost tailoring experience, then why not do it on your wedding day?
And it's interesting, we've noted post-COVID, we've interestingly noticed that grooms are spending a little bit more money on themselves. And that feeling of, you know what, I just want one amazing suit on my special day, we have noticed more and more grooms are going for a bespoke suit recently. And maybe the number of groomsmen they're having has dropped off slightly. So before, where a party of 8 groomsmen would be quite normal, now, you know, we're seeing parties of 3, 4, 5 groomsmen. And of course, you're saving money there. So actually, whereby they might be saving money on their groomsmen suits by having less groomsmen, we notice post-COVID, grooms in particular, but want to spend a little bit more money on themselves. And I get it, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Why not?
I do as well, because, you know, my partner said to me, like, oh, I'm thinking about buying my suit. Is that weird? And I said, no. Why would it be odd? Because actually, if I get to buy my dress, then
I'd
why shouldn't you? Yeah, yeah, exactly. When else am I going to wear this wedding dress? Let's be honest. Like, you know, but if I get to buy my own wedding dress, why shouldn't they be able to buy their own suit, you know?
I think in particular for a groom, I think it's a lot of money. Like, sometimes grooms come in feeling the pressure they need to buy their groomsman's suit. Mm. Actually, you know what? I don't think there's any need for that.
Yeah, well, okay, controversial opinion then. Should you buy or pay for the hire of your groomsman suits?
We that seems to be split.
Yeah.
So, sometimes people say to groomsmen, are you happy to pay the hire fee, ultimately? Mm-hmm. I mean, it is controversial because you're ultimately asking someone to invest money or chip in their own money. I think if you're going to ask your groomsmen, I think that's completely fine to pay for their own suits. I think it's important you then don't dictate the budget, because your groomsmen are all going to have different budgets. I have that with my own wedding. And so I'm not going to say you have to buy this suit at £500 if £500 to some people is a lot of money, whereas for others, that's nothing. They might have bought a bespoke suit. So I don't think there's that expectation now that you have to buy or hire your groomsman suit, although that is quite normal. I'll be honest, quite often the groomsman picks up the bill or whether it be the groom's parents or whoever it is, quite often that is included in that.
Well, the way we're doing it, for example, is we found a suit that my partner really likes and is considering, and it comes in hire and you can buy it off the shelf as well. And so he said to the groomsman, like, right, if you want to hire it, I'll pay the hire cost. If you want to buy it, then you'll have to pay the extra on top.
Brilliant way of doing it. We see that a lot, and that works great. Actually, then you've got both options. I'll cover your hire. Same with alterations, whereby we provide the alterations. I think to narrow trouser, we charge £22.50. It's like, if you want to have your trousers tailored bespoke to you, you can cover the £22.50.
Yeah.
I'll cover, you know, essentially the higher costs and anything up and above that. So one thing we do see a lot is, because in our shop, we actually personally don't rent out ties. Mm-hmm. Can't stand polyester ties. And so what we say is, if you buy the ties from us, we'll do a discount on the ties, but also it's a really nice keepsake.
Mm.
So quite often you'll see that sometimes presents are bought for a groomsman, and whether it be a novelty cufflink or whether it be a tie, but a Liberty, I mean, what's better than a nice Liberty tie that you can then wear for all the other weddings you go to? So quite often that is a nice gift to buy your groomsman. I think grooms listening to this just need to be a bit sensitive about their budget. So it's very easy to say, right, you have to wear this white shirt, you have to buy these shoes, you have to buy this suit. And then before you know it, you're expecting guys to spend £600-800, of which they might not have that money or ever wear the stuff again. So I think a bit of sensitivity to budget is quite important.
I would probably agree with you, especially with cost of living at the moment just being ridiculous, let's be honest. If you've got the budget for something or someone else has got the budget, then someone else might not. So just being sort of considerate about that. What happens if you hire a suit and it gets damaged or red wine spilt on it? Like, what's the process?
So it's an important point. So all hire companies will have some sort of insurance structure in place to cover against. We're not silly. We've all been to weddings. We know what happens at
weddings.
Well,
that's what I was thinking. It's like, if you hire a suit and you hired a white shirt or hired a white suit in particular and red wine gets spilled.
Yeah,
like,
so there's two important things here, actually. There's one in terms of dry cleaning, which we'll come on to, because if you're buying a suit, another really important question is, what happens if, as groom, you're going to have people with grubby hands, shaking your hand, hugging you. It happens. Beer's going to be thrown in the air. It's like, so your suit will need dry cleaning after a wedding. So that's an important point. So if we very quickly cover that. So if you've bought your suit, generally speaking, dry cleaning is an absolute disaster. You do not want to dry clean your suits very often. I would max dry clean my suits once or twice a year.
Wow.
So yes, by all means, get it dry cleaned after wedding, but you do not want to over dry clean suits because that's what makes them shiny. It's for chemicals and it's just not good for natural fibers.
Right.
So you will need to dry clean, because that's the other thing, of course. If you then put your suit away undry cleaned, and you leave it for a year until the next wedding you go to, moths will be attracted to, and moths are a big problem, particularly with woolen fibers, your tweed suits that everyone's massively into at the moment. Moths love it. So straight after your wedding, I get dry cleaned. In terms of answering the original question about hire, it's a question of negligence, unfortunately.
Yeah.
It's like, so if you've got the odd spillage or whatever, you know, that's fine. It happens. It's a wedding. We have seen a couple of times where maybe people got a bit overzealous on the dance floor and had torn their trousers.
Oh, God.
Right through the trouser. Like, not a little tear, right through the trouser.
Right through. Oh, God.
Unfortunately, something like that, if you're there doing the splits on the dance floor, as fun as that may be, unfortunately, there'll be costs incurred with that. And all hire companies will have costs involved with that. A lot offer a insurance policy, and you know what, for whatever cost it might be, £5, £10, whatever it is they charge on top, it might be something to consider getting, because it does
cover. I mean, I've already told my partner that we have to get that,
because things happen.
Well,
it's a wedding.
Yeah, it's a wedding, everyone's dancing, and then, you know, how many times have I accidentally spilt my drink on something I'm wearing because I've got a bit too overzealous?
So, I would encourage, if you're hiring, getting the insurance to go with it.
Yeah, and that's, I think, really, really good advice from that side of it.
So the next controversial one I've got is pocket square or no pocket square.
This is probably one of the few things I don't really have an opinion on. It sounds awful, but I was opinionated on it, and I always used to say, you know what, I think a pocket square is too much.
Really?
But I've changed my opinion, which is really tricky. So generally, if you'd have asked me 2 years ago, I would say, look, be careful with a pocket square, because you've got a lot going on. You've got your tie. You've probably got your buttonhole, if you're going to go for the buttonhole. So you've got your flower there. And then right next door to your flower, you have your pocket square. And sometimes that can look a bit too much. But actually, a lot of the grooms who I had through the doors have now convinced me the other way. I actually think, as long as you don't have it out too much, and actually it's quite discreet, I think it's just yet another thing of adding a really nice, elegant detail. So now, quite often, I'm pro pocket square, but you know what? It's one of the few things where I don't really sway either way. It's like, go for what you feel, you know, is right. Yeah, exactly.
When it comes to pocket squares, do they have to match tie? What's the best way to do it?
Yeah, generally speaking, so the rules previously for, say, business pocket squares is generally the etiquette is you wouldn't match your tie, but for weddings, normally you do match your tie. So, I think it's nice, because otherwise, yet again, you're adding more and more colours and more patterns, possibly. So generally for a wedding, I think it's quite elegant to have a pocket square matching the tie. So, and whilst you're on the tie, don't forget about other options available. So love the bow tie look, particularly if you're wearing tweed.
Yeah.
Bow tie looks amazing. I personally can't rock a bow tie, but if you can, guys with the beards generally look amazing with that slightly more rustic bow tie look.
Interesting. Yeah, looks facial hair would
gives it that slightly more vintage kind of cool look. And that's something to consider. Cravats just don't go there. You can knot those on my head. But so there are other options. And you know what? Actually, now some people don't even wear a tie, controversially.
Okay.
So you'll notice in the shops now there's a lot of white shirts with a trim in the collar.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, an open neck with trim looks pretty cool as well. So there are other options out there.
Yeah, and I think that's really important to mention, is that actually you're not set on just your standard tie.
Yeah.
You know, if you want a cravat, go for a cravat.
Oh, embrace it.
But you say that cravat is not something that you would usually...
No, I just think the problem with it, and I know throughout we've said, look, just it's a reflection of yourself and go for it. So if you want to embrace it, that's cool. But cravats were big about 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. The silky cravats and then the swirly waistcoats and then the frock coats were huge. They were absolutely everywhere. And that look is a bit done now. Mm-hmm. So personally, I think it's great. If you want to embrace it, that's fine. But it's quite a dated look. Mm-hmm. So I think it will age the wedding quite quickly.
Right.
Whereas you could say in 10 years' time, but we'll look back at tweed and go, I wouldn't do tweed. So actually, it's probably just a cyclical thing. But actually, in 5 years' time, it's probably going to be back in a big way. So
Bridgerton's sort of taken off, hasn't it?
It has, it's
influenced a lot for weddings. Mm. And I think the cravat sort of making us...
Yeah.
appearance is because of TV it is, shows yeah. and influence TV shows, but you can say that about things like Peaky Blinders, yeah. the tweed, and
morning suits as well. Morning suits have never been so popular, which I love. I love a morning suit. I think it's really smart, formal, and it's something that you'd never wear in normal life. You're not going to go to work in a morning suit. So if you want to get dressed up for a wedding, then a morning suit's a really nice way of doing it. Mm-hmm. But I think with all the royals have been in the media a lot recently, and royal weddings and even the funerals, it's like you see the attire they're wearing, and that does get reflected further down the line into what we're seeing in weddings and menswear.
I think it might be a really nice point just to make while we're on that is, how can you tell the difference between a morning suit, a frock coat, a dinner suit, a sort of tweed suit? Like, what kind of cut is that?
So I think the best thing we can do is at the end is we can put a link to this, and maybe then we'll do a breakdown of what each one is.
Yeah.
Generally speaking, so a morning suit, or you might have heard it as a tailcoat.
Mm-hmm.
So traditionally it'd be the grey and black striped trousers. Think butlers, basically. Yeah. That's the best way of thinking about it. Or ascot.
Yeah.
That's what they wear for ascot. So it's a long tailcoat, comes to just behind the knee.
Mm-hmm.
It's a single button, which has a kissing button.
Mm-hmm.
We'll send a link in to that so you can see.
Make sure it's all in the show notes, so you can click on that.
And then a frock coat is a slightly boxier look, a slightly more old-fashioned look.
Mm-hmm.
And then generally with lounge suits, tweed suits, most of the time now you're going to be seeing two buttons,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to be slightly shorter. The trend at the moment is to go quite short in the jacket. Mm-hmm. They call it the rule of thumb. As a guide, when you put your hands down by your sides and you put your thumbs out like that, then your jacket should come to your thumbs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good guide as to how long your jacket should be. But we'll put a link. So if you're interested in the different styles and who it suits and cuts and things like that, then we can put a link to
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. I think that would be so helpful. Yeah. So we'll definitely insert that in there. The next thing I've got on here is waistcoat or no waistcoat?
Ooh. I love waistcoats. Although controversial, I'm not wearing my waistcoat today, which is a bit awkward. But you know what? I get, and I feel really strongly about this one, as you can probably tell. But the thing is with a waistcoat is what you've got to remember is most people take their jacket off at some point during a wedding. So if you're the groom and you're not wearing a waistcoat, what you're doing is you're taking your jacket off, and then effectively all you've got on is your white shirt and your trousers. Your white shirt by that point is going to be creased, so you're not looking smart anymore. And B, you're going to look like every other person at your wedding. So I honestly think the waistcoat is more important than the jacket, which
really
makes me sound crazy. But actually, I strongly believe that, particularly if you don't normally get dressed up, or if you do normally wear a suit, actually it's another way of adding a different element to it. But I think it's important if you want to look smart, that the waistcoat adds that element.
Mm.
I actually even think that if you want to go for a more relaxed wedding, actually lose the jacket, wear chinos, white shirt, open neck, and a waistcoat, and you've got your you've got that very different but nice wedding look in any way. So I, as controversial as it is, I think probably in our shop 99% of weddings wear waistcoats.
Interesting.
I think it's super important.
And if you're the kind of person that maybe, again, doesn't feel comfortable wearing a waistcoat.
Mm.
It's not a rule, is
it? No, exactly. There are no... there are no hard and fast rules, other than what I said about the buttons, because that really is a rule. Don't break that rule, because it changes how a suit hangs. But yeah, you know what? If you honestly just don't feel comfortable wearing a waistcoat, we've done it before where we did a couple where we tailored them. He didn't feel comfortable in a suit generally. So he was like, Alex, can you tailor me a pair of shorts? We tailored him a pair of shorts, shirt, and waistcoat. And you know what? You have to feel comfortable in the clothes. So, and a lot of people, it is one of those strange things that waistcoat does feel a bit weird to begin with, because generally it's a tighter fit. So,
how often do you wear a waistcoat?
Exactly. So as much as I say, look, it looks amazing and embrace it, if you don't feel comfortable in it, just don't do it. You have to feel comfortable on the day, because otherwise it will reflect how you feel and how you're acting on the day. So I think it's really important. I think comfort's really, really, it's up there with one of the most important things.
Okay, and where most important things then, if we think about that, just while we're on the topic, comfort being right up there, else would you say is, if you had to think of three things?
Yeah, so most important three, I'd say, is number one is the wedding or the star that you're going for should reflect yourselves. I think that is the most important thing. Take advice by all means, because most people mean well and they just want you to have the best amazing day. But like I said earlier, it's like a wedding is a reflection of yourselves ultimately. And you just want to be happy and make it the best possible day for yourself. So that'd be my most important thing, is don't feel dictated that you have to go down a certain route. Most suppliers, whether it be a suit shop, dress, flowers, ultimately their end goal is they just want you to be happy. Mm-hmm. And that's all we want. So I think, number one is have a wedding as a reflection of yourself. Mm-hmm. Number two, and I keep mentioning this, is fit. Mm-hmm. Go to somewhere where they're going to fit you properly. There's no point going to all the effort designing your suits or picking colours if the suit actually doesn't fit very nicely. So pick an independent store or someone where they're experts in what they do and make sure it fit. And really heavily linked into, I guess, fit is comfort. Mm-hmm. So like we've already mentioned, you need to be comfortable. It's a long day. You're sitting, you're dancing. Don't be tempted to go into that size smaller or a design that you don't feel happy with, or maybe wearing a morning suit when actually you feel much more in tune with maybe tweed or something. Go for something which you feel comfortable in. I think those three things. And then I guess a fourth on the side would be budget.
Yeah.
Things are difficult at the moment, so don't feel you need to spend thousands and thousands of pounds. You can get a good fitting, good looking suit no matter what your budget is. So you could come into my shop and spend a couple hundred pounds and leave looking amazing, or you could spend a couple thousand pounds and also leave looking amazing. It's just we will adapt the suit or the process to you and your budget.
That, and I would say that's a really nice place to finish up on. Alex, thank you so much for coming in today and talking all about wedding suits. It's been really enlightening. This is not my remit.
There's a lot involved, isn't there? It's funny because one of the things that people always say to me is like, one of the only things or one of the few things that maybe their partners got involved in is the suits. And so that's really important. It's what we try to, in my shop, try to create a ambience whereby actually, no disrespect to brides, but the groom does feel special. It's really important that you, if you're going to get involved in one thing for the wedding, make sure it's the suit, because that's the one thing that actually we need your input in. So when you come in, like you would if you were bridal shopping, we try to make it so probably the one place where actually the groom is the most important person in the room. So yeah.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much, Alex. We'll have all the social media links and any links to articles that will be helpful for you if you are looking for your wedding suits. But for now, we'll leave it there. Happy wedding planning, and we will see you next time.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Guides for Brides, the wedding podcast. Head over to guidesforbrides.co.uk to continue your wedding planning. And don't forget to like, follow, and subscribe on our social media channels @guidesforbrides.